welcome back to the Big Red Hockey Cast for our first episode of 2024. Today we are covering two big wins for Cornell women's ice hockey this past weekend. My name is Matthew Small and I'm alongside Jane McNally. And today we have some exciting hockey to talk about and some special guests coming later in the episode. Let's jump right in.
Yeah, it was a couple of great games, great wins by the Big Red. They're now up to number 6 in the USCHO poll, which is great news. Friday's game, January 19th against Princeton, they're ranked number 12. It was a 5-3 victory. It was an intense offensive game, despite zero power play goals in the contest. But yeah, Princeton outshot Cornell 38-30, but Cornell didn't let that get in their way, did they?
No, Cornell got out to a 3-0 start in this one. In the first period, it was Carell Prefontaine assisted by Lily Delaneidis and Izzy Daniel. And then Gabby Rude on a goal unassisted, 2-0 after the first period. In the second period, Rory Gilde getting on the score sheet with a goal assisted by Dwyer and Izzy Daniel. And then it was Princeton responding with two goals of their own to make the game 3-2.
Yeah, Cornell ended up getting the lead back. Piper Grobler got a goal that made it 4-2. Princeton cut it close again, but eventually Izzy Daniel closed it off with a goal pretty late in the game. Five goals in the second period. It was an intense offensive performance, but Annalise Bergman, she stood tall. Only three goals allowed, 35 saves. It was an impressive performance.
Yeah, absolutely. Annalise Bergman, 35 saves in this one, zero power play goals, although 8 goals total in this game. So a really fun game. And let's jump right into the next game. It was Saturday, January 20th. Cornell gets a win in this one, 4-3 against Quinnipiac, who came in this game ranked 6th in the country. Cornell outshoots Quinnipiac in this game by a heavy margin, 39-23.
Yeah, it was we could call it a domination in the shot department. Cornell wasn't able to cash in on the power play, but they were still able to cash in offensively. Cornell got the first goal of this game. Izzy Daniel, who else? Assisted by Rory Gilde and Grace Dwyer. Quinnipiac was able to tie it up, but Gilde ended up separating Cornell. And then a great goal by McKenna Van Gelder gave them a 2-goal lead. This game was a shootout.
Quinnipiac would tie up this game 3-3, but then it was Gabby Rude with an absolutely clutch goal in the last minute of play, coming down the right wing, her team going off for a change. She's all alone, but is able to take a great shot, get it past a goalie for the game-winning goal in the last minute of play. Cornell takes this one 4-3, and another solid performance by Annalise Bergman, 20 saves in this one.
Yeah, it was overall a great weekend, a couple of big wins. 6 ECAC points against ranked opponents. It was just great to see. But now we've got to get to the sin bin. We have two incredible guests from PWHL New York, a couple of Cornell women's hockey alumni. Today we have Captain Micah Zandy Hart and Jamie Bourbonnais. Let's get right into it.
Joining us in the sin bin today are two Cornell women's hockey alumni who are currently playing in the newly established Professional Women's Hockey League. Micah and Jamie, thank you so much for taking the time to chat with us today.
Thank you.
Thanks for having us.
So first off, we just want to say huge congratulations to you both. Really excited to see Cornell women's hockey alumni playing the league. We've been following along on social media platforms and watching some of your games. But first, just how did you guys get involved in the league?
Oh, well, I've been playing hockey, I'll speak for myself, my whole life. So it's always been a dream, obviously, to play, at the Olympics and with the national team, but we didn't have kind of a league to aspire to be in. So when this league was established, obviously, we jumped at the chance. It's pretty cool to be involved in, a first of its kind league like this. So, obviously, it's a dream that I didn't even know I had, really.
Yeah. So Jamie, you were second pick for PWHL New York in the draft. What was that whole draft day experience like?
Yeah, that was pretty surreal. Obviously I've been watching the NHL draft for years and seeing, how excited they are when their names are called and hugging their family. So it was really cool for me to have my family there. And when my name was called, my dad was crying, and it was so exciting and didn't even feel real again. Like, we didn't really know that this was going to be a possibility for us, and didn't know that the draft was going to be like that. So to get to experience that was really cool.
Yeah. And Micah, a little bit different scenario. We know you're able to sign as a free agent before the draft and during that free agency period. What was that whole experience like, your talks with New York and all that?
No, that was kind of crazy, kind of unexpected, and just to get some phone calls and then have a bunch of phone calls back and forth and kind of making a decision on something before anything was in place. This being a new league, every team only had one staff member, and that was the GM. So you're pretty much just going off a conversation with one person. And we have a great GM in New York, and the conversations went really well. And I feel like our values were really aligned and our expectations for myself. So that was a really cool process. But yeah, that meant that draft day was a little bit less stressful for me. But then obviously to have Jamie get picked second overall to the same team as me was pretty surreal. I think it was something that we didn't think was going to happen. So it was cool to have that moment.
That's awesome. Let's shift back a little bit. I'm an ILRE, and I am amazed by sports unions. I love union law and everything. And I'm really interested about the role that the Professional Women's Hockey Players Association had with the league. So tell me a little bit, what was the role that the players had in forming this league in your eyes?
Yeah, I mean, we had a player kind of executive board of like Hillary Knight, Breanne Jenner, Liz Knox, Kendall Coyne, Schofield, and Sarah Nurse. And they have kind of been in meetings, I would say, for the past probably 2 years leading up to this league starting, with different investors and different executives that were going to be involved in the league. So those players were really the players that I would say did the legwork for getting this going and making sure that we had everything that we felt was professional to start a league. And then obviously for the rest of us players, it was honestly just a little bit of patience and just waiting for the right time for this to be launched, and the right time for everything to come together. And just putting trust too in those players that they had the best interests of the players at heart, and they were advocating for us in those conversations. And ultimately, as you see, like, the final product, I think they did a great job, and I think we all feel like we're taking a step in the right direction to what we feel is a professional hockey league.
Awesome. So Micah, we want to give you a little belated congratulations on being announced as the first captain in franchise history. What does getting to wear the C for New York mean to you?
Yeah, that's kind of crazy. It means a lot. It's always an honor to be considered a leader on any team, but obviously to be considered a leader on the first ever team of a franchise is extra special. And I think too, like, our team in New York, we have so many great leaders and so many great people. So for my teammates to consider me for that position, I think means the most to me over anything. And it's something that I take pretty seriously, and I feel like it's an honor, but it's also a responsibility. So I'm excited to be in that role and hopefully help lead New York to a championship this year.
Yeah, we saw that announcement happen back in December at Rockefeller Center in front of the tree. Could you just kind of walk us through that day and that whole experience?
Yeah, it was cool. Yeah, we found out about it kind of last minute, I would say, like a couple days before, that we were going to be making that trip down there. And yeah, it was just a special moment to have with the team. I think the thing that kind of sums it up is, I think everyone was saying, like, feels like we're in a Hallmark movie. Not many of us had skated at Rockefeller before, and to have the ice to ourselves, it was only for 10 minutes, but still, I don't think they leave the ice open for a group of people very often. So that was a special moment for us to have, and I think something that we'll probably never forget.
And shifting over to Jamie, congratulations on your first goal against Montreal the other day. And I know we've seen a couple of really close games so far in the league. Kind of tell us about the fabric of these games so far. Do you really sense any rivalries forming already? And what's it like kind of playing on this first ever, best on best league?
Like, every game has been so competitive so far, and very physical. I mean, the refs are definitely letting us play more than I think we were used to in the past, and we're loving that. We want to show that we are able to be physical and play at that fast pace. So it's been really fun to play in those games. And I was just talking with a girl on another team earlier this morning, and we were saying how like any game can go either way, and that's what makes it so special. You have all the best players in one league, and on any given night anyone can beat anyone, and that's what's made it really fun. It makes it so competitive. Every game feels like a playoff game right now, and we're all very competitive and we all want to win, so it's just making the quality of the game even better.
And I know you brought up some of the body contact that's being used, and I had a chance to watch some of that game against Montreal, and I was really impressed with the type of body checking and body contact that's being used, you know, with puck intention along the boards. And I'm a referee with USA Hockey, and this is a really big conversation in USA Hockey right now about body checking with puck intent and really what the future of body contact is. So, you know, do you think there's anything that, you know, the game itself on the men's side and the women's side can learn from your games and the type of body checking that's being used?
Yeah, it's a good question. I think we're all still kind of learning as we go, you know, how to hit. Again, we haven't been able to be as physical as we have been in our careers. And a lot of us did play boys hockey growing up, so we kind of had to learn how to be physical and how to take a hit from, you know, people that are much bigger than you. So I think we're using that maybe into these games, but we're all still learning and kind of learning too what a penalty is and what's not. There's a little bit of a gray area there. So every game's gotten better, I think, with the physicality, but I think as it goes on, you're going to keep seeing that physicality. We're all loving it so far. So yeah, I think it'll just keep getting better.
Yeah. And on the topic of the new penalties and whatnot, I got to ask both of you what your thoughts are on the new jailbreak rule where if you score shorthanded, you release your player.
I think it's so cool. A few times there was one last night and the girls that scored ran over to skated over to the penalty box and like took her out. So
I think that's awesome.
It's pretty fun. We were joking that if that happens with us, we're going to make a tunnel out of the penalty box. So it's pretty cool. Like, I think it's something that might get added, you know, to other leagues in the future. It's a reward. Like, if you score shorthanded, you deserve to bring your player out of the box, I think. And it's a cool element they've added.
And do you think that kind of changes at all your strategy on the power play, knowing that if the penalty killers are going to be a little bit more aggressive, try to create some chances the other way that a goal could, you know, lead to the end of that power play? Do you think there's going to be any changes to the makeup there?
I think that it's changing the penalty kill more, in my opinion. Like, I think right now we're so wired to get it and shoot it down the ice, you know, play it safe. But I think now that there's this rule, people are trying to, you know, be more offensive, maybe wait and see if they can make a pass instead of icing it right away. So, and I think it also is keeping the power play on their toes too. They don't want to, you know, make a bad pass and have it go down the other way. But I think the penalty kills, you're going to see it become a lot more offensive.
Yeah, kind of open it up a little bit more. You guys have played in front of some great crowds so far, from what I've seen, including a crowd of nearly 9,000 in Minnesota. What's it been like, and like how empowering is it to just see such great success right off the bat with the PWHL?
I feel like I think we always knew people wanted to watch, so it's definitely, I think, like a bit of like a reassurance, I would say, for us. It's like, oh yeah, like we do have a fan base, and yeah, people are going to show up, which is obviously, people have always said that people won't show up. So the fact that we are a couple weeks in and we've had some record crowds, I think shows to all of us that we weren't crazy, I guess, about what we were putting forth. Jamie can probably speak to this a bit more, but like, I think it's been really cool to be in these like NHL rinks, and like in Minnesota, the crowd was so into it to the point where you couldn't even hear the whistle, which is obviously, those are the moments that you live for in hockey.
Yeah. I'm also a female athlete at Cornell. I'm on varsity field hockey. So obviously it's been tough as a female athlete to kind of see our male counterparts have professional future in the game while many of us haven't been able to. And that's how it kind of was for women's hockey for a while, but obviously now not the case anymore. Can you kind of speak on like how important it's been or it is for the future generation of female athletes and female hockey players to have the PWHL?
Yeah, like kind of like I said before, this is a dream that I feel like we didn't even know we had Growing up, I dreamt of being in the NHL because there was nothing else to dream of. So every single game so far, you see little girls holding signs saying, "This is my future. You know, this is my dream." And that it's so heartwarming to see because now they have something that they can dream of, and we're those role models now for them, which is an absolute honor to be able to be in that position. And it's just so important that we can show young girls that they can, you know, follow their dreams and be professional athletes. Like, there hasn't been that visibility for us and for other girls in the past. So it's pretty cool to be, you know, those players that they're looking at now and saying, "I want to be like them."
That's awesome. And we know that you two have a ton of experience playing together. But how is that experience really going to translate over to the PWHL?
I hope really well. but no, yeah, it's cool. Obviously, yeah, Jamie and I have played together for, what did we say the other day? How many years now?
Like 7 or 8.
Yeah, 7 or 8 years of us playing together pretty consistently. So obviously to come into this new environment where you're with all new teammates and new coaches, new staff and everything, but having someone that you're super comfortable with and you know their tendencies and they know yours, I think is probably going to help both of us down the stretch, just being confident and comfortable with our own game and who we are and just being able to bring that to the rink every day.
Micah and I, like, almost every day are like, "Can you believe that we're both here?" Like, it just, the way it worked out, we like can't even believe sometimes that we're both in New York. It's pretty cool.
That's awesome. And to wrap it up, you're both on 3-year contracts with New York. Knowing you'll be together and you'll be a part of this group for a few years, where do you see your team and the league in a few years' time?
Yeah, we have a really good team. And I think it's just going to keep getting better. We're all learning again, like everyone's experiencing this for the first time, staff, players, everyone involved. So we're all learning as it's going, and each game, you know, things are getting better. And, you know, I think that, like, as more girls start to come up, like, you see the talent right now and in the college game. Like, I was watching Cornell versus Colgate the other day, and I was just so impressed with the talent. And as those players start graduating and joining the league, like, it's just going to keep getting better. And I think that's so exciting, and that's what we've wanted all along.
Awesome. Well, that's all we got for the Sinbin, but you already know what's next. Stick around for the Slapshot round. Welcome to the Slapshot round, where we ask the hard-hitting, fun questions, and our guests have to answer them as quickly as they can. So, as tradition, we have to ask, are you ready to go?
Ready to go.
Okay, first question. Favorite game played as a Cornellian?
Oh, no.
ECAC semifinal 2019 against Princeton at home.
Maybe just playing in the Frozen Four for the first time, even though we lost. That was pretty cool.
If you could challenge any former teammate at Cornell to a dance-off, who would it be and why?
Izzy Daniel, because she sucks at dancing.
Best one-liner or favorite speech given by Coach Dara?
Oh, there's so many.
He's got a really good story about a donkey in the bottom of a well. I don't want to tell it because that's in his secret, you know, his secret, but that one always gets the team going.
We signed NDAs, so.
always have to ask with this women's hockey team, what was your go-to gimme coffee order?
I don't really drink coffee. I'm not a good person to answer.
Cortado was always my drink. I miss gimme.
Favorite college town or Ithaca restaurant?
Sangam.
Who has the best aux on PWHL New York?
Jesse Eldridge.
I'm going to go with Alexa Grushow.
What was your nickname with the Big Red?
Jim, Jimbo, Jam. Those are the go-tos.
Mike's.
And has that changed with your new team, or is it the same?
The same.
Any pregame superstitions?
I used to be very superstitious at Cornell, like to a fault. So I had to really change that. But yeah, like at school, it's so gross. But if I played, if we had like a game, like a two-game weekend, and I played the first game and we won, had a good game, I like wouldn't wash my undergear between games because I thought it was going to be bad luck if I did. I don't do that anymore. I know it's really gross, but that was one of mine at Cornell.
Who would you want to sit next to on a road trip?
Micah and I sit together, so Micah.
Favorite pregame hype song?
Oh, they feel like a woman, Shania Twain.
I'm into like classic rock right now. I don't know why. So I'm listening to a lot of that.
What was your favorite place to study on campus?
Law school library, probably.
I was at Gates quite a bit.
And last question here. What's one thing you can't live without?
Probably my headphones.
That's hard. Dessert.
Good one.
All right. Well, that's all we have for the Slapshot round. Thank you both for joining us today on the podcast. And good luck in your game Saturday at 12:30 p.m. against PWHL Boston. You can catch the game for free on the PWHL's YouTube channel, where all the league's games are streamed for three. Thanks so much, guys, and good luck with the rest of your season.
Thank you so much.
Hey, Mr. Timekeeper, how much time is left?
1 minute remaining in the interview. 1 minute.
Next week, the Big Red return home to Lina Rink for two games. On Friday, January 26th, they'll take on Dartmouth, who they defeated by a score of 4-2 earlier in the season. That game is a 6 p.m. puck drop. On Saturday, January 27th, they're at home again against Harvard. That's a 3 p.m. puck drop. Cornell beat Harvard 5-1 earlier in the season, but lost in a very high-scoring game last season at Lina that they'd like to avenge.
Yeah, for sure. Not going to say nothing's assured in the ECAC this year. A lot of really strong teams, but Harvard and Dartmouth, they haven't been doing quite as well as the Big Red recently, so hopefully they'll be able to get those ECAC points.
Absolutely, Jane. Well, thank you so much for listening to this week's episode of the Big Red Hockey Cast. Make sure you tune in next week for weekly episodes and watch the Big Red women take on Dartmouth and Harvard at home or on ESPN+. Puck drop is 6 p.m. on Friday and 3 p.m. on Saturday. Like always, go Big Red.
Thank you for tuning in to this episode of the Big Red Hockey Cast, for and from the Lina Faithful. This has been a Big Red Sports Network production. The RSN is a student-run organization dedicated to promoting the voices of Cornell student athletes. Make sure to check out at CornellBRSN on Instagram, Twitter, TikTok, and www.cornellbrsn.com.
Special thanks to our producers, Anthony Sespe, Jane McNally, and the entire BRSN team. See you next week, and go Big Red.